December 2nd, 2015, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Oh,
for Pedro Show. Hey, Brother Matt.
Hey,
how's it
going?
First show of December.
Yep.
Last month, 2015 shows.
Man,
I got
a beautiful
3 weeks
day.
Till I'm 58.
A countdown. And Brother Day coming.
Because it's two, right? So 19, 18. And we started off with John Coltrane doing Cosmos live in Seattle, 1965. Two bass players. And I did that in honor of our guest. Bass player, buddy. Been a long time, Robert
DeLeo.
How are you?
Welcome.
I'm well.
And what can you tell us about Farmfur? Because that was the second song, Freedom Jazz Dance.
Yes. That was a band that Steve Ferroni and me and Dean and Steve played in.
You got that real close.
Yeah. Is that okay? me and Dean and Steve played in Joe Walsh's band. Back in 2004. Yeah. And, we went out to, do some shows and especially me and Steve kind of shared a love for R&B and funk and him being from the Average White Band.
Yeah.
You know, we just kind of would mess around with that and sound checks and.
I got to see them do a Don Kirshner taping. They were at the Long Beach Auditorium. It's torn down now. It's where I saw T-Rex.
Okay.
Long Beach Opera House now.
Okay, so let me know. That was taped in the morning, wasn't it?
They taped from, there was a front room, like where I saw T-Rex. And then
right.
There was a back of the stage with a smaller room, and that's where
they
did the taping.
So okay.
I saw Cut the Cake, pick the pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, so we started a band.
Guys.
Yes. And we started this band, it was Steve on drums and Tower Power horn section and a gentleman by the name of Jeff Young on keyboards who plays with Steely Dan and really, really heavy cats in that band. And it was really, I was honored to be there. Brian Auger on B3
Morgan,
on that. Yeah.
Indian Express.
Yes.
I remember.
Yes.
Brian Auger.
Yeah. He's heavy, man. He's heavy. I mean, Steve's quite a groove monster, too. It was really...
It was Joe Walsh's band.
Yeah, we were Joe Walsh's band for a summer. We went
remember
out.
He had an album with John Entwistle. It's called Got Any Gum?
Yes. Yes.
Did you play any tunes from that?
We didn't, but Joe kind of filled me in on that whole scene.
Yeah,
that was a righteous party, right?
Got Any Gum. Yeah, right.
Yeah, he'd probably a pretty fun character, huh?
Well, Joe would look at the 80s and say, that was my decade of vodka.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about memory. What's your first musical memory as a boy?
You know, I really absorb the music from, you know, people when they're young, they have memories of things, and I can still remember hearing AM radio at three.
Three?
Yeah,
good.
At three. So I was 3 years old in 69. So the things that were on the radio, lots of Motown.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Stones.
AM radio.
Yeah. AM radio. In
Stones.
Yeah, in New Jersey.
Okay.
So growing up at the shore in New Jersey and really just absorbing all that. I was the youngest of a lot of kids, too. My mom was married four times, so we had a lot of half and step.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a house where I was the youngest, so I would go to my sister's room, and she'd be playing Cat Stevens, and I'd go to my brother's room, and he'd be playing Jimi Hendrix. And then I'd go to this room, and there was the Beatles, and there was all kinds of stuff, and I would just go in there and absorb it, you know, really absorb, try to absorb as much as I could.
Do you remember the first record you bought?
I bought my own record that I bought. I was 10. I bought Presence by Led Zeppelin. I bought that, and I bought Utopia, Todd Rundgren's Utopia.
Presence was one of mine too.
Yeah, yeah. So Presence was yeah. I bought Boston, the first Boston record, Presence in '76, and I bought Todd Rundgren's Utopia.
'76. That's where I graduated high school. I remember that. It's a guitar. The city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Boston is like a car that's flying.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a spaceship.
Exactly. Exactly. Huge, huge record.
I remember that came out the same time as Marquee Moon. He had a record store. What was it?
Redwood Records?
Yeah. Redwood Records. And in fact, it was in two different places.
Yeah, down here, down the street.
And I remember
Because when you pulled out the sleeve and had Verlaine and Lloyd sitting there on their little chairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no rock guys did that.
Right, right. But didn't you love...
The other one had the spaceship.
Yeah.
It was like these two worlds.
Yeah.
It was in 1976. That's when we got the bell here from...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
200th birthday.
Yeah.
Wow. Beautiful.
So... You bought those records at once.
I did. I bought them.
It was like $5 a record, right?
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was four. Yeah, might have been $3.99. Yeah, I mean, it was. Yeah.
They weren't that much.
No,
but
no.
Then you didn't have a lot of money.
Right, but the experience of opening up albums was so.
Oh yeah.
Great, you know, it really was great. It really took you on a journey, and you know, it was about the album. It wasn't about the singles or the songs. You know, I
the same relationship with a thumbnail anymore.
No, I know, I know. It's opening up that record was really special. I mean, I feel sorry for some of the kids these days because they don't have that experience of opening up those records.
And the singles were really plain.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
Until later with the pump movement.
Yeah.
You had kind of interesting looking 7-inch.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
They were just white sleeves.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Well, my first record was a 7-inch. That I bought was American Woman, I guess. And,
oh, man, yeah.
And remember, they had big holes, so you had to use a thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The plant.
Because they had a... Yeah, yeah. Right. But there was also a thing, like a changer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Ones you could stack them up.
Hardly ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why the double albums were ordered weird. It wasn't 1, 2, 3, 4. Mm. It was 1, and the other
one
after 2.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So 1 and 3 on one, 2 and 4 on the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, then 8 cracks came.
Yeah,
was right in the middle of the thing.
I was just going to say that, man.
I think that's where we got our editing. Okay, let's get into like when you did the music yourself. Was there instruments in the home? Did anybody play?
There weren't. I mean, Dean.
Plays listeners.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a lot of music.
Makers.
Musicality in my in my household.
A lot of listeners.
A lot of listeners, a lot of appreciators of music, because I was going, you know, back there we had the basement, and I'd go down in the basement, and I'd get these 78s, and I'd get as much music as I could. I was listening to, you know, Henry Mancini, Ella Fitzgerald, and it was really opening up my mind, classical music.
Yeah.
You know, it was really opening up my mind to a lot of different kinds of rhythms and chord changes. And, you know, those certain chord changes and tones and stuff really kind of made me feel, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, when did you get that notion, man, I want to get in on this?
Well, you know, Dean had a guitar and he would not let me play it. I'm his younger brother. So he would go out of the... So he would go out of the house, and I would sneak under his bed, and I would either grab some, you know, a nickel bag of Colombian,
right there,
you know, grab some of that, or grab his guitar, and you know. But I was always cautious. I couldn't really get anywhere much, you know, because I knew he was coming home soon.
Okay, yeah.
So I'd have to put that thing back in.
You didn't have anybody to show you.
I was self-taught. Yeah. You know, I think things like that come with a passion, you know. I think you have a feeling for it. And I have kids now. I have 2 kids. And, you know, I have a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old. And, you know, I can see that passion. It's for sports. It's not for music. But I can see that passion.
Yeah.
You know, it's something you pursue from a younger age, you know.
Right. So, you're like kind of mousing. Well, let's play some music.
Sure.
I assume you got a talk show, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
John, yeah.
Yeah. надо же. Тик-так, тик, криза, пугай.
Ding dong 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 Thank you.
Yeah, that was a band that Dean and Eric and myself had in 96.
Okay.
We took a little break from STP and made that record with a Long Beach guy named Dave Coots, who was in a band called 10-Inch Men.
Yeah.
And we made that record with him back in... It's been that long. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then we had something from Macedonia, the Bernays Propaganda with Armenia. Rough mix. They're putting together a new record. Tokyo R... 04, Free Control, the Romulato mix, Romualdo. Cool Hand Luke theme song from our buddy Petra Hayden.
Yeah.
She's got this album, Petra Goes to Movies.
Yeah.
Great record.
Yeah. It's a mind-blowing.
Great record.
Have you heard her sellout?
No.
She did the whole Who sellout a cappella.
Yeah. I heard that you urged her to do that.
I asked you. Yeah, she knew what the fuck it was.
Man.
I just wanted to hear what it would sound like.
That's great. She does a beautiful version of God Only Knows.
The Beach Boy.
Yeah.
I gave her an 8-track cassette machine. I put the whole album on track 8. And I said, now you just sing along on the other 7.
That's great, man. It's great.
There it is. Pete likes it.
That's great.
Roger doesn't.
Pete called her, right?
A child took her out to chow with her.
Oh, man. That's an honor. Quite an honor.
Sue with Infinity Net, Black Mouse Super Rainbow, Brand New, The Chew, Mr. Tom, out of Pittsburgh. Tuggy with Chummin' with Muck, out of Leipzig. That's Germany, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Neurotic from Nervous Gender. Richard Meltzer's show, 1979. Great band, Nervous Gender.
Hmm.
Speaking of the old days, playing some gigs with X coming up, and Brother Matt Sunny, right?
Yeah.
Now, back to Robert's story here about getting into music and how he's mousing on his brother's guitar. I mean, the news had to come sooner or later. Or maybe he wanted to put together a band, because that's the only thing
no.
little brothers are handy for, right? Because they can come in on
drums. That's when bass came, you know, that he needed a bass player, so I was...
Right. So,
but I never really... I didn't own a bass. The first...
But this is what happened was...
Oh, yeah.
He had the band first.
And the band split up, and they went separate ways, and the three guys... It was a four-piece, and the three guys... went the separate ways, and the other guys were like, "Hey, why don't you get your brother in the band?" He's like, "Nah." So, but when I picked up bass, I mean, I started on guitar, but when I picked up bass, it felt a lot more comfortable.
Okay.
It really felt like it was part of me.
What was your first bass? You were borrowing somebody?
I was borrowing a 78P bass through a Sun Beta 15.
Oh wow!
Yeah, yeah. So that was it. It was a good start, you know.
Yeah. Sun Coliseum, I think I owned for a little bit.
Yeah, good amp.
E-bass, 78?
78.
I think that's what mine was, the first one I bought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a black one. I got it from Durf.
It was black with a maple neck.
Yeah.
That's what it was, a 78.
I got from Durf Scratch, a guy
who had really?
Bass and Fear, yeah. He was, in those days, everything was a recycler.
I remember.
Free ads and stuff. And oh, 7-Eleven,
yeah.
What was it, like $2, Brother Matt?
The recycler.
To buy the recycler, but the ads were for free.
Yeah.
And so all my cars, all my music stuff, everything came from there.
Yeah.
And it was Durf. He was selling, I think his parents had a real estate thing in Santa Monica. He was selling real estate.
Oh, there. Man.
I bought my first Fender.
I remember when I moved out here in 84.
Yeah.
From New Jersey, and I was looking in the recycler, and at the time I was really into Lewis Johnson from the Brothers Johnson. And he was
passed away earlier this year.
I know, man. I know. Yeah. Great loss. Yeah. Great loss. Yeah, now he was playing the music, you know, the Stingrays. So when I saw him doing that, I remember I picked up a Stingray for $225.
Wow.
78 Stingray. I mean they're $3,000 now?
Yeah.
This stuff's gone up a lot.
At least.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had the band with your brother, and you're on bass. What was your first gig like?
My first gig was actually in my friend's garage in the summertime, and I was 6 months into playing bass, and I was playing. I just had a love for it, and I really excelled with my ear and with my playing. And I picked up a bass, and those guys were like, we've got a show in 2 weeks, and we're going to do Rush and Yes.
Oh,
yeah, so I got right into it, you know. And
especially that Squire guy, man.
We lost him. I know.
Christ.
I know.
So many cats.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I found out later it was his band.
Yeah.
They tried to tour without him. He said,
Yeah.
They had to call it their own names.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. So, right off the bat, you got to start doing Yes and Rush songs.
Oh, yeah. I was going to send you that, actually. I was going to send you.
It was in a garage.
It was in a garage, and we played my friend's basement a lot. He had a basement. His parents would go away for the winter and leave him and his brother there. So they'd have a keg party every weekend, and it actually became called Club Eddie's. So my friend Edwin. Yeah, so we would play down there, and we were doing King Crimson and just everything, just covering the whole spectrum.
Was John Wetton?
John Wetton.
That's a good P-bass sound.
John Wetton. Lark's Tongues and Aspic, man.
Yeah, that's
that
a good
record,
bass sound.
Man. I heard that's an Italian.
Black one, too.
Yeah, I heard that's an Italian wah. With
that?
A fuzz wah that he used on those
box? Ones.
I think it was some kind of Italian. It was something else.
Okay.
That he used.
Some boxes were tight.
Yeah. So. Yeah, fuzz wah. Yeah, great tone.
It was a fuzz wah.
It was a fuzz wah he used on those records.
I remember, because at first they had Greg Lake.
Yeah.
And when I saw early P, he was playing a Wow Wow too.
So. He was.
Yeah.
And very similar voices.
Yeah, wow. Oh, yeah.
Lake and Wetton.
They're friends. I think these guys grew up with Robert Fripp.
Yeah. I saw.
Because anyway, we're talking late 70s. You're doing middle 70s, right?
Yeah, well, early 80s, 81, 82. So I was 16 when I picked up a bass. I was kind of a late.
You go right into the Prague.
Went right into Prague. Yeah. And you know,
Prague.
It was
so
yeah.
What was that first gig like?
It was great, man. It was great. It opened up. You know, it was like that. It was like that feeling you had when you were younger and you got on a bicycle and went down your driveway out into the street, and it was your first taste of freedom. You know, it was your first taste of freedom.
Yeah.
You know, so I picked that bass up, and it was, you know, we played, and it was my first taste of a little more freedom when I got older, you know?
Now, you're talking about coming here in 84.
Yeah.
So what was the idea of that? You've been knocking around in bands back east?
Yeah, I mean, I came from a town that was very California. I started surfing when I was 9. And my town was called Point.
New Jersey kind of looks like California.
It does, and people don't realize that. But it's my town was Point Pleasant Beach, and 5,000 people square mile, three sides water. Ocean comes into a river and comes around to a bay, and really, really Huck Finn kind of Tom Sawyer kind of childhood, and riding motorcycles around, and you know. Surfing.
That's
and
the other thing. It's pretty rural, a lot of it.
It is, because you fly into...
They only think of Newark, right?
That's kind of the armpit of the state.
Every state's got a park like that.
Right. But it's
just happens to be there where everyone can see it.
Exactly.
But if you go into New Jersey, I know from playing... I actually played at a frat party at Princeton.
Oh, you
and
did?
It's very rural there, where the roads have jug handles.
Right.
You would think it's all outdoors,
yeah.
Of course. And then that shore thing,
yeah.
All those towns.
Yeah, I'm sure you played the Fast Lane. In Asbury?
Of course,
right.
Asbury
right.
Park.
Right.
Stone Pony.
Absolutely. I grew up about 3-4 towns south of Asbury
right,
Park.
There was a whole thing of that right
yep.
down the coast.
The shore.
The shore.
The shore.
Sure.
Yeah.
So then what were you thinking? I'm going to go west?
You know, my sister was out here, and they just suggested, I think my mom was kind of worried, because she's like, well, you were always in your room. And it was like, my parents split up when I was in eighth grade, so I moved to a new town. I moved to Point Pleasant Borough, which is inland from the beach, and
okay.
I had no father after that. And okay. Those 4 years of high school were probably the most challenging for me. They kind of
sure.
messed me up. So the instruments really became
focus.
My therapy, you know? Yeah.
So you think of what, California, your sisters are out there?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they came to visit, and my mom said, what do you think about going out there? Because it really was
your mom suggested.
She did. Maybe she wanted to get rid of me. I don't know.
In the house too much.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know what you were doing in your room. And it's like, you know, I was playing bass and masturbating. So, you know what I mean? I don't know if she really got
that.
Yeah, I don't know if she really got that. But, you know, so you know, I took the opportunity to come out here, and I never regretted it. I came out of here in 84, and I was living in Orange County at the time, and it was interesting because I was in Mission Viejo.
Is that where she lived?
My sister was in Mission Viejo. She bought one of the first houses there in 1976. So I came out in 84, and it was kind of tracked home hell, you know. I kind of wanted to go home. I didn't know where I didn't fit in, man. I just didn't fit in. You know, I was taking, you remember what was you took like a bus to get, like a cab, ride or something like that. But I take that around because I didn't have a car.
Well, that's
and,
rough.
Yeah. So I was 17, moved
back
out.
Back home, ball land with no car.
Yeah. But I kind of ventured out, man. You know, that's when I kind of, you know, got.
Because we're at the end of the first
sure.
hour. December 2, 2015, Dish Wap Peter Show. Hold tight, hour two. December 2, 2015, second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Drank the blue, no shame showing pain in that their smoke filled room. Lonely like a genie in a bottle, whiskey. Help me escape. Wrinkles on my forehead, stains on my cheeks. Can't escape this place. Then here in Asia, I feel so weak. Control. Don't know what to do. Don't know where to go. Reach for the bottle, it's all gone. Whiskey.
comments, Mr. Chairman, in my statement, which I believe was around the closure of the News of the World newspaper.
I would just like to say one sentence. This is the most humble day of my life.
As of the News of the World newspaper.
This is the most humble day of my life.
Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Whiskey.
Yeah.
Dust Deep.
Yeah. This is a project that Phil Collin from Def Leppard started with this woman, Debbie Blackwell, on vocals, and a gentleman by the name of Forrest Robinson on drums. And Phil wanted to record some stuff, and he came over, and we did some of this at my home studio.
You were recording yesterday there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, this, you know, Phil's a sweetheart and, you know, great company, great vibe. And so, yeah, this is from the record Delta Deep.
Were you recording Delta Deep yesterday also?
No, we were doing something else, actually, an acoustic
It's neat to have your own pad, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, the organ man, the second man, Pete Mazich, me and him put together this thing, Castle Hans. When you have your own pad,
oh, man.
That's what I was saying about some of the new stuff isn't all bad.
Yeah.
Kind of, so whenever you want, you can do it. All day, it's nothing like that.
I know. I was always a gear geek, so, you know, I got an old Neve board. And
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So, happened.
Yeah.
Itchy after that, Magic Hour, Noah's Answer, Pill and Bua out of Norway. Same with El Caco, The Silver Light. Chinese Herbal Medicine with Irrational. I think they're Silver Lake or Echo Park. It's hard for me to tell the difference. Faith and Good Judgment by the Yoppers. Or Texas. Barron's Whitfield and the Savages. Rock and Roll Baby. Chicago. Mr. Susan Rooms with No Window. That's England. And finally, Taff Falco with Rambetta. And he's living in Austria, but he's Hot Springs, Arkansas, where I got to play with him last month. And
nice.
Yeah, there was these natural hot springs, and the mob would have their vacations and stuff. You weren't allowed to shoot each other. And trippy, I found out that the natives that were there many years before any of that.
Yeah.
Arkansas actually is the name of the people. I mean, down the river people, because the Illini were up the river. And the same thing, if you were at the springs, you couldn't fight each other.
Oh, man.
So it's trippy how that carried on.
Oh, man, neutral territory.
Yeah. So you're in Orange County, in the forgotten way to get around.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, I was there for a couple months. I actually got kicked out. I got the boot. And, you know, I just did the couch tour.
Couch tour.
I lived in my car. I bought a Music Man Stingray bass for 2 1/4.
Yeah.
And I bought a out of the recycler, I bought a 1976 VW Rabbit.
Okay.
And that fine.
Tom Watson loves rabbits.
Yeah, that fine yellow. Sometimes looks like yellow, sometimes looks like green. Yeah, eggnog. So I bought that for $500 and moved out and just kind of started exploring and doing California, Southern California. And it really opened up my eyes because I was never really used to, you know, the Golden Bear and Fenders and, you know, all those places were all new to me.
Golden Bear behind the Safari Sands.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It was like a block or two from there.
In Safari Huntington, Sands. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a cat beefheart at the Golden Bear.
Oh, man. Great band.
That cat. It's torn down, right?
It is.
Yeah, it's all
It's all new. It's it's all big building. Yeah, it's nothing like it was.
Yeah, so you were getting educated by checking out the pads. What's the first band you had here?
Well, you know, I was just kind of learning my craft and doing my own thing. You know, I told you about, it's funny because I really wanted to learn how to slap from Lewis Johnson.
Yeah.
And I had that Stingray, the 78 Stingray. It was a beautiful bass. It wound up getting stolen later on. But do you remember Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker?
Yeah.
So he came through Mission Viejo at the time. And he murdered some people there.
Yeah.
So I was on my toes. I was up all night and I kind of owe it to Richard Ramirez teaching me how to slap because I was up all night and I was listening. I had the cassette of that Starlix. You know, I didn't have the video, so I didn't know what he was doing. I was just kind of learning it by ear. But I was up for 2 weeks, man, because I was freaked out that guy was around. So he, you know, he initiated me to stay up and do all-nighters playing Lewis Johnson.
There were some tunes. I think F-Word had one. Hillside Strain. A couple bands had Hillside Strain.
Yeah.
That was a creepy time.
That was,
there was other cats, too. What was that, Bonin? Those two guys that were riding around in their van.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that was OC, too.
They were brothers, right?
They were brothers. Yeah,
yes.
They were picking up people, and they found them in the garbage sacks.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yep.
So that's how you got in. And when I got to meet you and play with you, ended up being the last Fire Hose tour. It was with Butthole Surfers and Basehead.
Yeah, that was a fun tour.
So what led up to that band?
Well, I kind of met Scott around 86. I was living in Long Beach at the time.
Okay.
And I met Scott around then, and we kind of had a... With his friends, we kind of had a musical thing, and it was more along the lines of kind of more of a funk R&B thing.
Did this slap?
Yeah, which I was heavily...
Larry Grant.
God, man. You know, man.
Now you can get videos, though, and see how these guys do it.
I know.
I know what you mean, though, especially with the 8-track, where you couldn't even lift the needle in your back. Yeah, you have to let the tape go on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you didn't know where he was on the neck you're just doing your own thing. Yeah, I mean, I still get off on hearing, you know, thank you for letting me be myself again. I mean, that comes on. I mean, shit, man. Ah, you know? Yeah.
So that's something else.
Yeah,
So you guys, you wanted to put together like a soul band?
We were kind of doing a funk kind of thing, you know, and you know, the Chili Peppers were a big influence then, you know? And you know, I think it was such a great scene. I mean, L.A. was, you know, with Jane's Addiction, and, you know, I really, really got immersed in that scene, and, you know, we wanted to be a part of that scene. We were young.
Eric had a good funky feel.
He did. He did. He really did.
He wasn't a slapper, but he still had that feel.
Great player.
He was a pick man.
Yeah,
really
pick,
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, there's this weird thing about pick on bass, people think, but, you know, Anthony Jackson, for the love of money, you know, pick. I
mean, yes.
Why can't you use a pick?
I like Herbie Flowers, actually. I like his use of pick on the stuff that he played on.
Or the nail thing like Chuck Rainey.
Chuck Rainey, man.
But your fucking nails.
Man.
In front of his nails.
Yeah. Chuck is just...
Yeah, whatever it takes.
Incredible.
I saw him whistle slap, fingers, and pick in the same tune.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, incredible player, man.
So your brother wasn't part of the unit?
No.
Finally, the older brother has been.
Yeah. Dean was Dean was down in San Diego and had
Following Machine.
Yeah, Dean was down in San Diego, but
because when did he come out?
Well, he came out a year after I did in '85, and we were kind of my mom and Dean and I were living together in Mission Viejo. Went back there, not that I wanted to,
yeah.
But it was, you know, I was scrambling, man. I was doing the car tour. I was sleeping in my car, and
absolutely.
You know, but you know what happened was Scott's friends just kind of weren't cutting it musically, and it came time to kind of sign my name on a piece of paper, and
yeah.
Reality really hit that this is not really what I want to be doing, and it's not the people I want to be doing it with.
Right.
So, you know, Dean came into the picture, and I think when Dean and Scott and Eric and myself, the four of us, played together.
He is a San Diego guy, right?
He's actually San Jose, but he was living in Long Beach at the time, too. And we, when the four of us got together, that was probably 88, 89.
Okay.
You know, it just felt right. It just felt right. I was used to playing with my brother from the band that we were in. And there was a brotherly thing there. I mean, you know, when I write a song and he plays it on guitar, it's really the way I want to hear it. And hopefully, you know, when he writes a song and I play it on bass, it's how he wants to hear it. You know, we've been making music together for so long now, and it's really endeared our relationship, you know, with each other. It's
well,
great.
I want to endear a relationship here with Brother Matt. Mm-hmm. Insight. Cool.
Highly successful sound of a wonderful radio London. Me and my brother were talking to each other about what makes a man a man. Was it brain or brawn or the month you were born? We just couldn't understand. Our old man didn't like our appearance. He said that only women wear long hair. So me and my brother borrowed money from our mother. We knew what we had to do. We went downstairs past the barber and gymnasium and got our arms tattooed. Welcome to my life, tattoo. I'm a man now, thanks to you. I expect I'll regret you, but the skin graft gun won't get you if you'll be there when I die. Tattoo. But my mother naturally liked it and beat my brother, 'cause his tattoo was of a lady in the news, and my mother thought that was extremely rude. Welcome to my life, tattoo. We've a long time together, me and you. I expect I regret you, but the skin graft man won't get you. You'll be there when I die. Tattoo. Now I'm older, I'm tattooed all over. My wife is tattooed too. Oh, Rudy,
Thank you. What you will hear now will bring back memories to some, will open up new fields to others, but most important, will keep alive to all and for all time what can really never die. The many moods of...
Now we are ready if you are ready. Now we are ready if you are ready. Now we are.
one. Say it. Say it. Side by side. Till tomorrow. Say goodbye. So much. What was your impetus, your reason to do what you just did?
Well, Petra started it off. Thank you right. very much, Petra. With yeah. the who that we were talking about earlier. And then I'd just been exploring different sections of this collection that I haven't dipped into much lately.
Good reason for exploring and dipping. Okay, Robert. Back to, so you guys start playing. Your brother and Scott and Eric, and I don't meet you. I get to meet you not too long after that.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that your first big tour?
That was.
It ended up being my last Pharaoh's tour.
Yeah, that was our first, you know, big tour like that, and it.
You know, do you remember the first gig? It was in Miami.
Oh yeah.
You had to drive from fucking from
here. I don't know how. You know, man.
It's kind of easy. You just turn right and keep going.
You go 10 the whole way.
It's Jacksonville, then you make another right.
You know, first off, I got to say it's an honor to be here. It really is an honor to be here, Mike and Matt. Because, you know, people like you really put it together for me. You were the final piece of the puzzle for me, and it was the attitude and the spirit that you had. And sometimes I feel like I should be interviewing you. Because, you know, man, you really opened my eyes up on that tour and how you were as a human being as well as being a player on stage. You know, it was really inspiring, man. You know, you really stuck to your thing, man. And you...
I think I played a bass at a blind guy game. It was painted gold.
Well, do you remember...
that? Bass, right?
Yes, yes.
Because I don't know yes. what it is now.
Yes.
And there was a guy in Canada who could come to my gigs, and I loved his... he'd give me, like, a review of the gig at the end, and he was blind, so I would get this trippy kind of report.
I think I remember that.
I was pushing on him.
Yeah.
He felt the gig, you know? Wow.
Yeah, we called that tour the Barbecue Mitzvah Tour. Do you remember that? We kind of told our agents just to book shows where people never really played anymore, you know, ever played ever. Yeah. So remember we played people that do the log rolling.
Oh, yeah.
We played in the pool. Remember you were late for that show. You get the van broke down.
That's right.
I remember up in Canada.
Also, we played, I remember in Dallas, it was like some
Sunken Gardens. Yes, 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 yes.
Ferris wheel and shit.
I've got some great footage of you guys, and I think did you lose a tooth that time? When
I lose it because it got hit. I pushed back.
You put the I've got that on. Yeah, you broke that string with your tooth.
I used to have to change a lot. Hands ain't that strong. We're at the end of the second hour, a Watch for Peter show, December 2nd, 2015, guest Robert DeLeo, back. Hour three, hold tight. December 2nd, 2015. It's third hour of Watt for Pedro show.
Can't. Thank you. the mud again, broken and beat down.
Understand the throbbing, the heart of the place, the lights, the music, the girls, the big time appeal. Well, the thrill is fine. It's just not my thing. Seems a little degrading, paying for some favors. How humiliating to be put in your place. I respect the dancers. They make a living. I'll just take a rain check on their sexual thing. Get out on my own terms if I need it, but I don't think so. I'm doing fine. Save the breast for someone else.
Pedro show, start off the third hour with a goodbye from Army of Anyone.
Yeah, this is...
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is another project that Dean and I had in 2004 with Richard Patrick from Filter on vocals and a really amazing drummer by the name of Ray Luzier on drums. And this was one record we made, and it was a really, really great experience. Hopefully we get to make some more music together, but this was the first single from...
Did you do it?
We did that at the Village, actually.
Recorder, Santa Monica?
Yeah, with Bob Ezrin producing.
Bob Ezrin?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Steely Dan was recorded there.
In that room. It's that same room. Yeah.
I just read a Dan book, and it's recorders in there all like crazy.
Yeah.
When they came out west.
Yeah, it was in that room that we recorded in, the Steely Dan room.
I had to do a song with the tall guy, the Elvis Costello drummer.
Oh.
English guy.
Yeah.
Kind of reggae.
Yeah.
Thomas?
Great band.
Great band. Lee Jones in that room.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then Basho, Damaged Brain, David Nussel, Basho. Blackbird One, El Dago Speaks, a John Peel session with Dogface Hermans. That's Andy Moore. I'm talking to him this month. Beat Down Blues, Sylvia Giancosa, that's got brother Steve Reed on the bass. Joe Brewer, Jack's cousin from Madison with some poem. Exotic Toxic. Reg Blur, new album. Little Miss Steel Valley. She's married to Glenn Branca.
Mm.
I got to be part of the Symphony 13.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's a trip. Bass is doing flatted seconds.
Yeah, okay. Right.
whoa.
Yeah.
Dan Francia with 1 second. When you compose, Mark, do you like composing on bass?
I do, you know, I think it's...
You probably ended up teaching yourself to play a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, like I said, I was absorbing a lot of different kind of stuff, man.
Yeah.
You know, and I think most of the time it's from guitar, my guitar background. But if it's a riff, I mean, it usually starts out with, somebody could start playing a beat, you know, and it'll inspire me to speak on the bass a certain way, you know. I like you probably too, you know.
Well, I compose mainly on bass.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I do guitar, but I can't play very well. You show me some stuff. I can't hold a pick too well either, but the strings are so little.
Yeah, I know, I know. I know.
Little cheese cutters.
Yeah, I'm 6'2", man, so the bass felt a lot
more
comfortable for me, you know.
Yeah, I'm not used to it, but, I mean, I ask this because I think it's one of the futures... Seems like bass is usually the last thing added.
And yeah.
I'm kind of suggesting this as a composition tool. Why does it have to be the last thing? Why can't it be the first thing?
Right, right.
And the way I look at it is like you can actually set up the guys you're collaborating with a little more freedom because you don't have as much harmonic content as a guitar or a piano.
Right, right.
But you
right.
do have starts and stops. You have rhythm.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of a drum, and you do have, there's some chords in there.
Absolutely.
But a lot of it is the rhythm and stuff, so using that first instead of last.
Yeah, yeah.
I know R&B, there's been a strong tradition about that, like you said, using a lick.
Right, right. Which is always that kind of staple that I always, it was ear candy for me. You know, those R&B records, like Philly stuff and Motown stuff, there was always that ear candy lick that always came around, whether it was a drum fill or whether it was, you know, I was just listening to Papa Was a Rolling Stone. It's, you know, it's the same thing over and over, but it's the feel and the vibe.
Big holes, though, working the holes.
Big holes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Mr. Squire wasn't that big fan of holes.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are.
Well, his tone always, you know, that Rickenbacker really.
It's monster.
Big monster.
You listen to that song Roundabout now, it's almost 90% bass.
Man.
The band is little things on the side.
Yeah, right? Well, it's.
Here's some more music.
Sure.
become futility.
guys out there? Hello? Moves two ways, does yours? I'm a big mole in the ground. My feet are bigger than my face, are yours? I'm a big mole in the ground. And just as long as Coyote's there, the sun will never shine on my hair. I get my vitamin D from elsewhere, 'cause I'm a big mole in the ground. That's how smart I am. Well, I eat worms and everything on the ground. You ain't so smart, you ain't so wily. You call yourself a real coyote?
Rewind Automatic Sam, Seen Enough, Super Fast Girly Show. I think I got the fucking thing on, Brother Matt. So. Waterland and Melody's the theme. Christina's Lullaby, John Truby. Mole versus Coyote, Earthworm and Samo, Energy, Reverence Circle, Radio, None A. Robert, I always ask people this. Somebody's asking you for advice. Could you put in your time? I know you got a lot more time. sentences.
Amen.
But what would you give for advice if somebody's asking about this racket?
Wow, well, it's such a different game now, isn't it? I mean, yeah,
but the idea of just music as expression or whatever.
Yeah, I think you know, I just followed my heart and soul with playing an instrument, and you know, I think it's absorbing as much music as you can. I mean, I don't listen to rock music. I play rock music.
Yeah.
But I listen to jazz. I listen to a lot of jazz.
Yeah.
That's really what I enjoy listening to.
Yeah.
And I think when you're listening to all different kinds of music, I love George Jones. I TiVo old hee-haws, and you know, man, there's talent everywhere. You know what I mean? There's talent everywhere. Yeah, Roy Clark, man.
Yeah.
You know, Roy Clark, he was amazing. He was amazing. Buck Owens and
Cal Worthington. He had to put something in between his. Car commercial.
Yeah.
And you know, Leo Fender's tied in with these guys too. This is
yeah.
where the bass guitar comes from.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
why it's called precision?
Yeah.
Because it has frets.
Right.
He didn't know how to play. Leo didn't know how to play. But he knew his buddies. In those days, no boats yet, no vans really, so they're using station wagons.
Yeah.
You had to tie the doghouse under the motherfucking roof.
Right, right.
So I'll just put my Telecaster guitar on steroid. And this would be the bass guitar.
Yeah.
So those country musicians actually, music is music. I see your point.
Yeah.
The idea of genre and stuff is kind of goofy.
Yeah, you know, I got a chance to, you know, write with Glenn Campbell.
Yeah.
And
that's a good guitar man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an amazing guitar man.
He
had no idea how he shredded like that. I just watched that documentary.
Oh, God, he...
He had to fool people too because he couldn't read. So
right.
He did it all with the ear.
Right. If you go on YouTube, when we were making one of the last records with Scott, we were up at a house in Malibu, and Glenn came over for the day, and we kind of made a Glenn Campbell day, and we learned, you know, a really amazing Jimmy Webb song called Wichita Lineman. And we did a really beautiful version of that at the end, you know, Glenn sheds a tear, and he stops and sheds a tear and says, I like that, you know.
Oh,
so, and we actually were, when I was living in Pedro here, we were recording, Dean and I were trying to make a record with him. We got five songs tracked with Glenn, and it's just sitting in the vaults right now.
He stopped playing, right?
He did. He's unfortunately...
disease.
I know.
Yeah,
it's really sad to see that.
Remember your own tunes.
Yeah, my grandmother, my grandma.
It was neat how his tunes kind of helped him to hang on for so long.
Yeah,
because he'd get up there and start.
That's something to think about music.
Yeah.
So your advice is the heart, the soul, absorb.
Absolutely, and many different kinds of music.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different kinds of music to appreciate. That you know, it's funny to me when people. I talk to people and they say, well, I don't really listen to music. It's like, how the hell could you not listen to music? Man, it's, you know what I mean? It's such a, you know, from another, you know, place, man. It takes, and that's what jazz does for me. It takes me to another place, you know, and I need to have it in my life. And you know, if it's not music, it's, people have a lot of different things that they need in their life. But if you have that pull.
Yeah.
From that music gives you, you know, it's my advice would be listen to as many different kinds of music and learn your music. Go back to the past.
Yeah.
Go back to the people that you like and see what inspired those people and go back to the people that inspire those people and keep on going back.
It's like peeling the onion.
Peeling the onion. Well said,
great,
Mike.
Great advice. Oh, I want to thank you so much for being on the show here.
Yeah, very cool.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
And welcome back to Pedro.
Yeah. It's always great.
10 years since
no, you know, I always get an itching to come over here, man. I come by and just gives me good memories.
Way over far away Dondo.
Yeah. Yeah.
But really, really an honor. Thank you for coming
man.
On. And keep on keeping on. Good luck with the new music and this new recording that you're doing.
Everybody, it's been
thank you, Mark.
Brother Matt, thank you for your always
essential
aid and abetting. For the next 5 nights, I'm in Hollywood.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Okay, next week, Jack Black.
Yeah.
And thank you, Pat, for making this.
Thank you, Pat.
Bringing together. December 2nd, 2015 edition of Off People Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry. Yeah.